Choice!
Ba, do, dee, da, da. Ba, do, dee, da. Ba, do, ba, dee, ba, da, ba, da.
Jabba, do, ba, do, ba. Shoo, ba, ba.
Hello and welcome to Toast, the two-part podcast talking about the things we are munching down on in our own lives and the toast we are toasting to right around the world. Don't laugh. I got that a little bit wrong.
I mean, I guess it is the toast we're toasting to. It's the good kind of toast.
Mm, the headlines.
Yeah. And it's
the big news.
Yeah, the big news, and it's good news stories, which is why it's good quality toast, not burnt toast.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Otherwise, a bad story would be burnt toast.
Of course, the Toast of the Week happens a little bit later on in the podcast, and we have to be talking about the extraordinary effort of the Matildas.
Woo!
So good.
It's amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing effort.
I know we want to talk about that right now, but let's just hold that off just a little bit. And of course, we're going to talk about the things we're munching down on. Just before we do that, don't forget you can follow us on the socials, Toast the Pod, TikTok, Instagram, send us a DM.
All the things.
All the
things. Love to hear from you. And can I just say as well, side note, talking about sport, we've mentioned before on the show that we sometimes will play table tennis.
Yes.
Before jumping into the studio. We play today. And I think I also brought my very best performance to the game.
You did very well.
Today. And I'm personally very proud of myself.
She's very proud. You came into the studio saying, I'm so tired, Ewan, I've got no energy to do anything.
It's true, I am tired.
And
I'm
then
still
I
tired.
Said to you, table tennis, and you got straight up. You had your Nikes on.
Yeah,
and
I was going
to say,
I had my sneakers. Even though I was tired, before I left the house, I thought, I'm going to pop these on because you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be prepared for these things.
You just never know when Ewan's going to ask the question.
Yeah, and when you asked me, I went, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. And I was just hitting some great shots. You were personally impressed because you're a great player.
You should be proud of yourself.
Maybe it's the Matildas that inspired me. Though a completely different sport. Maybe I'm like, you know, women can be great at sport and people care about it.
Let's start with the things we are munching down.
Yum, 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 yum.
Jenna, I was going through the socials and I saw a reel on Instagram and it was kind of like things that make Iceland iconic. It was like, I think, five things, but the first thing got me. Iceland has an app which is unlike any app I have ever seen in the existence of apps. It's extraordinary because it is called the Incest Prevention App. Iceland has a population of less than 400,000 people.
A lot of people.
No, that's not.
How many people do we have in Geelong, which is the second biggest city in Victoria? Is it around 400,000 as well?
You think there needs to be an app for Geelong? Well, maybe.
I'm not saying that's doing that for Geelong, but it's to describe how small that amount of
Geelong
population
2016,
is.
253,000 people.
Okay, so it's double Geelong. That's
nearly
it.
Nearly double, not
for
entirely.
For a whole country.
And that was 2016, so it actually probably is punching 300, which, I mean, we're getting pretty close. Officially in 2022, it was 376,000 people. So it actually is pretty close. That's actually not a bad comparison to give. So imagine the population of Geelong deciding, coming together, uni students in fact came together and they said, we need something to stop the likelihood of, I dare say, doing the deed with someone that you are related to, a cousin essentially. You have a 1 in 1,000 chance in Iceland.
1 in 1,000?
To sleep with someone that you're related to.
1 in 1,000. I mean,
that doesn't
sound that bad.
At first, it doesn't sound that bad.
But I think at the same time, it's still a pretty risky situation to
be
in.
You also think about like the age demographics as well. Like when you start to put in, you know, someone around your age,
Is that not based on age? That's just based on pure population
ratio.
Someone
around your area as well.
Then it starts to be like 1 in 5 or something.
Oh, no, hang on. 1 in 1,000. It probably is based on age, I dare say. This was from the University of Iceland. Yeah, it's based on your age. But still, when you start to go like
if you're 25,
you've
got 1 in 1,000 chance of having relations with a relative of the same age.
Sex with your cousin.
I mean, you said it as it is. Like, it's just...
Well, it's true. I mean,
that would be incredibly awkward. You know, can I just go back to the name for a moment?
Yeah, go.
What's it called again?
The Incest Prevention App.
That doesn't sound very attractive.
It's actually before its time.
It's very scientific.
Yeah, it is.
It sort of takes out the romance out of a particular relationship that two people
I
might have.
I think you want to, though. Oh.
But that's probably, exactly, that's probably why it's named that, because it's saying this is important, yeah. This has to be taken seriously. And I can understand scientifically and also for your own mental health. You want to know categorically that there is no relation between you and
100%.
A person you might have, again, relations
the question,
with.
The question is that when you're on a you're on a date with someone, when do you whip it out?
Well, if you're in Iceland, I think you would have to. I mean, I'd probably. Okay, if I was Icelandic.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're
I've
from
never.
Geelong
I
or from Iceland.
I've never been to Iceland, no. Right? Although The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, one of my favorite movies.
Yes.
Is technically based there as yep. for part of it, which I love, but I haven't been there myself. Uh-huh. But if I am from that country and my family's genealogy, you know, stems, you know, generations in that country, uh-huh. I probably would be whipping out that app on the first date.
You're telling me your anxious butt would be happy to whip it out on the first date.
No, you know why, though?
How would you
why
say
would
it?
I want to waste my time dating someone that could be my cousin? Twice, third removed that I'm not sure of because, I don't know, they live in another town or something and we met just by chance. Like,
I know, but how would you say it to somebody?
I reckon, look, again, I haven't been with an Icelandic person before. I've only really had one serious boyfriend who's now my now husband, mm-hmm. Brendan, and I can categorically say we are not related.
Right.
So that's fine. Whew.
Have you checked?
No, he's not. But I'm just thinking Ooh. That... I reckon it would be, how long has the app been around for? Is that right?
2013, yeah, okay. So 10 years now.
Yeah, all right. So I reckon it would just be a part of the dating scene. Maybe it's very common to say, can we just pull out the app? Because is that right that the app, how it
yeah,
works,
so you,
it
yeah,
bumps?
You bump. Yeah. yeah.
So do the phones actually have to
so
touch?
So you actually have to touch the other phone.
Oh, they're having relations.
That might be the most action they get.
I just find it funny.
The thing
they
I think about
to
is that it's hard
it
enough dating as it is. Can we just be honest? When you're on a date with someone, yeah. No, I'm a pretty nervous guy.
Like, I was going to say because you are dating, we're in a different stage of life.
I'm not
yeah.
one of those people that you know can just. And I don't want to speak on your behalf, but I feel like that's you right. might be the same. You mm-hmm. go on a date, you're nervous, you're anxious. It takes a couple days for me to feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
To ask, you've already got enough going through your head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, to make sure that you actually have
Say
some
right
kind of connection.
Say the got the right connection.
Yeah,
you know?
Is there an
Am I giving too much eye contact? Oh,
yeah.
No, maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Should
and
I
also,
get the bill? Should I
and,
not?
Yeah,
you know
and
what
also
I mean?
Even like how much do you eat? Because you also don't want to over-talk.
You don't want to under-talk.
You don't want to overeat. You don't want to under-eat.
You're speaking my language. Imagine then.
I haven't dated in a long time and I still remember what it's like.
Imagine then having to think about when do I ask the question? When do I ask the question?
Maybe you would.
Do you have the prevention?
But in all honesty, yeah. Well, this is the thing. I would say again, if you are say watching this on Instagram and you're Icelandic, maybe it would be great to hear from you. Actually, let us know mm-hmm. in the comments or DM us because it is a really interesting application. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are only 300,000 people or more ish yep. in that country. I live in a city of Melbourne, as you do, that has what? Millions of people. How many? I can't even tell you, but more than 300,000.
Yep.
We don't have that problem, presumably.
I can just imagine anyone not from Iceland walking into Iceland, everyone would look at you being like, fresh jeans.
You know what?
Right for the taking.
Yeah, I was actually reading an article before we recorded this, and it was about someone traveling to Iceland just to have that experience whilst in Europe. It's
Wait, really? Is that a thing?
It's on escape.com.au, and it's a very, very funny article. And this guy that was traveling to Iceland looks vastly different to the other men because he had darker hair. Darker skin, and so he stood out in a bar in the middle of Iceland, and
wow.
because the other men there were fairer and they were gorgeous. I mean, if you've looked at
this is
the gene pool, they've got great genes. The Icelandics, is that you say Icelandics?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, back
people
I'm just,
from Iceland.
I'm just thinking when I did my gap year, I was with this guy on a tour, and he was.
Did you go to Iceland?
No, I was in Egypt.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
As a flex.
I know, yeah. Just casual.
That was an Egypt flex. On a tour, and this guy, I think he was Samoan.
Yeah.
And he was traveling all around, but he kept saying to me, he's this single guy, and he kept saying to me, Ewan, I'm so excited to go to Iceland. He kept saying, he said, because I look different. I've got different. I got a different color skin, and I'm gonna be. People are more interested. Yeah. Women are more interested in me. And he kept saying,
"Samoans are gorgeous." I've got family on both sides that are Samoan in my family, and they're all stunning.
But maybe it's a thing. You look different in Iceland, and people are more interested.
Yeah. Yeah, my cousin Luke, I'm going to mention him for just a moment. Yeah. I would say he's an attractive guy. He's pretty attractive.
6'6", and he's...
Yeah, he's tall. Yeah, I've spoken about him before privately between you and I.
And, well, that's a bit Iceland of you.
That sounded really weird. No. Because you're quite tall, for context, and I think you and Luke would be great mates. Uh-huh. That's why I think you have similar personalities to some degree. Anyway, but he, a few years ago, went to Japan. And he's got a great athletic build.
Right.
He's tall,
Were people more attracted to him?
Oh, he could not. He got stares everywhere he went.
Really?
Heaps of people thought he was Thor, like Chris Hemsworth. So they wanted photos. They thought he was a Hollywood superstar. So all these people wanted photos with him because, I mean, he is, a nice-looking guy. So he had all this attention from Japanese
women. So did he date over
there
or was he in a relationship?
No. He wasn't dating anyone over there.
But were people interested? Is that what you're saying?
But people were interested in him and they were fascinated by him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's quite a shy guy, but I reckon he wouldn't have minded the attention as well. Yeah. I'm sure deep down if I asked him.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget that story. And same with that guy who's Samoan in Iceland. I think, he would have definitely had a choice of 300,000 people if he wanted to, because he's definitely not related.
I was just going to show you before we jump to the toast of the week. Of course, this is a very serious app.
Yes, and it's called the
incest prevention app.
And we should thank people that created it, because I'm sure a lot of science-y brains came together to create something that is very effective.
And if
it's 10 years it's clearly being used still today.
Now, the reason why it's so important is because you don't want to go into a committed relationship and then realize way down the track that you may be, in fact, related to somebody. This leads me to a TikTok reel.
Here we go.
That I saw recently. Check it out.
A married couple with 3 children have discovered that they are cousins after taking a DNA test to learn more about their family tree. Selena Quiñones, who is a realtor from Colorado, posted a TikTok in March that now has been viewed over 4 million times. She tells People the video has garnered a lot of negative comments, explaining, quote, "People keep asking, why would you do that? Why would you post this?" She says she thought it would be funny. And while she didn't think it would go this viral, she adds, quote, "I feel a little more free." The couple were married in July of 2006 after just a few months of dating. The couple shared 2 teen sons and a 10-year-old daughter. She recalls Joseph telling her it's not a big deal and to just brush it off, but she couldn't help rethink their entire relationship.
That's pretty... Imagine having 3 kids and then realizing...
And then, and they're not even Icelandic, which means maybe it can happen anywhere. The more I think about it, in the olden days, think about the British, Spanish, French royal families.
Okay.
They wanted to keep wealth in the family and prestige. And if you look at the genealogy of some of these.
Yes, all very inbred.
Some of them were marrying their cousin. It was just a thing to do because you wanted to keep it in-house.
What I do love about that video is the husband's response is just like, don't think about it.
Because you don't want to think about it.
Don't worry about it.
It changes nothing to everything. See here. It's so weird. I mean, there's nothing you could do about it. You're in
That's
too
right.
deep, literally.
The toast of the week.
Ewan, the question I have to ask you is, where were you the semi-final match between the Matildas?
Yes.
And, of course, the English team in the FIFA Women's World Cup. It's a big game.
Massive.
Reached over 11 million Aussies.
Did it?
7 million of which watched the Channel 7 broadcast, and everybody else would have been watching it, say, on Optus Sport or other means.
But did they have
it's
that?
Massive.
Did that beat the game before that?
Yes,
the
it did. Yes,
wow.
It beat the quarterfinal match.
Where were you? Yeah, I was at a pub, one of the local ones in Hawthorne.
Near your place?
Yeah, near my place. Was with my close friend Cal, his family, and then a couple other friends were there as well. Packed pub. I had to leave to get to work, unfortunately, at 10 p.m. So I was there watching the game when Sam Kerr kicked the first goal.
Oh, the big strike. That was amazing.
Yeah. And then the moment I walked, literally the moment I walked out.
It all went.
Was
a
when their forward kicked it, the second goal. And I thought, well, England. I'm glad I'm leaving now.
So could the Matildas blame you for the loss?
Oh, that's right. I was there. I happen to be the bad omen around the world.
You burned them. Mm. Get it? Because you're Ewan Burns.
That's lame.
Lame joke.
Where were you when you watched,
Well, the funny thing was I was at a pub as well with my parents and with my husband, Brendan. Unlike me. I had dinner. We then went back to my house to actually watch the game. So where the pub was.
So you didn't stay at the pub for the game?
No.
Why not?
We were thinking about it because there was room, but I think we wanted to watch it just in front of the big TV.
You would have been one of the smallest percentage of people that had a table to watch the game at the pub and left.
We left. Well, the pub was literally a five-minute car trip down the road from my place. However, I can say, Peter Hallier.
Oh.
Big Australian media presenter, comedian, actor, all the things. Yeah. So his family live near my family.
Yeah.
So he was there with his whole extended family, all wearing Matilda's gear, watching the game
pub. So why did you leave?
Because we had already decided as a family to watch it at my place. We were actually going to have takeaway pizzas. Last minute, we decided to get a table at the pub.
We
thought, should we just stick with the old plan?
This sounds stressful.
We literally,
Jenna family stressful
situation. It was
situation.
The Amazing Race. My dad was rushing us out of the pub because we got in with just 1 minute to spare before the game started. So it was very, very hectic. Everyone got in front of the TV, and of course, it was very, very stressful match to watch. But the reason why we're bringing it up as a toast of the week, and it's, of course, an obvious one, what the Matildas have done for sport in Australia, for women's sport, and just for the entire community, bringing the nation together, to have so many people view one televised event.
Mm.
It is something that we have not seen in decades. That is the impact they've made amongst so many other things. And we want to honour them, not only their professionalism, but to break records as well, to be able to enter the semi-final. Like, good on them. Like, kudos.
Yeah, Matilda. Channel 7 broadcasted the event. And I don't think any station studio realised just how many listens. Like, you know, weeks ago, they would not have realised how much coverage.
Mm.
Well, first of all, you wouldn't know how well Matilda's going to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, what was it? 7 million people viewed that game against England
on Channel 7.
What was crazy is that if you looked at any of the other channels that were, I don't know if you heard this, but any of the other channels on Channel 9 or Channel 10, they cancelled a lot of their shows.
they didn't
even try.
Nah.
Like, so, usually people put up effort against Channel 7 or they try and find a rival thing. They literally put on the worst TV shows about nothing.
Or repeats of something that it didn't matter.
Something from the early 2000s, the crap on there.
So like a show that I really like on Channel 10 that's been brought back is Thank God You're
Thank
Here.
Thank God You're Here.
And I remember they just got rid of it. They're like, and I love how they called it out on Instagram in their post saying, we understand that no one's watching this show tonight.
Did they say it on their
Instagram? They basically said, everyone's gunning for the Matildas, so we're going to move it to next week.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was perfection because they understand, and I think, let's not skate around it. The whole of Australia's together.
It's almost disrespectful putting anything on.
Yeah, for not only the Matildas, but also for people watching it.
Yeah,
especially if you love the show and you want to catch up.
I don't recall a single event in my lifetime that was so monumental. I mean, you have the AFL, but that seems
it's not
quite.
The same.
No, because, like, you know, there's so many teams, particularly in Melbourne, is that you could talk to someone and their team's out, obviously, but everyone was behind one team.
Correct.
And people compare it to Cathy Freeman back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, at the 2000 Olympic Games, I think it was.
Yeah. But I was three or something like that. Do you remember that? You would have been like seven.
I remember I was only little as well, but I still remember that race that she ran.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I remember the feeling. I don't remember all the things that happened.
Did you want to run after that? Do you remember that far back?
No, I knew that running wasn't for me. But I acknowledge as a kid going, she's great.
Yeah.
I don't mind walking. Yeah. I knew my strengths and I knew my weaknesses.
Imagine being like, you know, someone like maybe even like a teenager maybe or maybe 7 years old is old enough. particularly being a young girl watching the Matildas play.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. You would just, all you'd want to do is you'd be dragging your parents out. I'm sure they wouldn't, they'd be pretty compliant to get a soccer ball.
Absolutely.
And you'd want to play.
Yeah.
Like, that's freaking awesome.
This is the thing. Soccer is the most played sport in the country, more than the AFL, more than Aussie rules, I guess. And I remember, and this has been the case before the Matildas, before the, you know, the FIFA World Cup here in Australia and New Zealand. And I remember actually having a conversation with a gentleman who runs the Knox Churches Soccer Club here in Melbourne. It's one of the biggest in the area. And he was saying with the FIFA World Cup, they're going to get a major influx again. But with soccer in Australia, it's one of the, it's in terms of the money that's poured in, it's a lot less than Aussie rules. So even though there's more people playing it, it's less funded. And when I was doing a little bit of research around this, it was actually really, no, I wasn't going to say cool to find out about it, but I want to give you some facts on how much, how developed we've come as a country and how much women in sport particularly have been advocating for change and how far we've come. So, for example, in terms of the FIFA World Cup, in 1995 was the first time that the Australian women's soccer team was able to qualify. So that was 1995. In 2007, FIFA awarded prize money to women in women's soccer players. In 2015, when it was the FIFA World Cup, FIFA set up artificial grass for the women to play on. So it wasn't actually real grass like the men's team, the men's one.
In what year?
2015. Not that long ago. 2015.
I did hear just quickly on 2015, there, I forgot which player, but there was an interview on a radio show and they said that she walked away with $750.
Yeah.
For the tournament.
Yeah, so there was a lot less money.
$750.
Yeah, with all years and years of training representing your country.
I'm doing an MC gig this weekend for some cheerleaders at the age of 6 years old, and I think I'm getting paid more for a Sunday.
Crazy.
How?
Yeah.
Horrible is that?
So, and on that actually, so this year, 736 soccer players, I believe, were representing their country. In the FIFA World Cup, something like that. We're at least worldwide. That's how many at a professional level for women. Apparently, one quarter of the earnings that are given to the women's soccer players in the FIFA World Cup, it's one quarter is given to women compared to the amount that men get. So to give you an idea of what that is, $440 million, Australian dollars, is allocated to the men's tournament.
Yep.
The women's tournament, $171 million Australian. So a quarter of it is given to women. So to give you an idea, these days in the FIFA World Cup for 2023, every single player that enters the tournament at a minimum will earn $30,000. So that's still a huge jump compared to where they once were.
Yep.
But what is great is that year on year, every single tournament that comes up, there's been advances in a positive direction.
The one thing I would say, I saw this meme on socials which I thought was like it's like a bit of an ugly truth with it all.
Yeah,
I mean, that behind the scenes seems great, no doubt about it. After this, there has to be further conversation about you know, compensation.
Absolutely.
Financially.
But at a grassroots level as well.
And when it comes to a younger generation, you know, in 15 years, kids will now be entering the Aussie team Matildas and they would have watched this game solely and decided to make the decision to play soccer.
Yep.
But the reality is that all the hype will die down in 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I guess you'll still see it.
I know what you mean by the initial big boost of injection.
It's like with anything.
But you know what it is? It's because the media is talking about it all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? Like any kind of media cycle, they have to keep creating something new.
And I guess so that's normal. They'll find something else to talk about. Completely normal experience. I guess you would, if I was a parent with kids at the age of 8, I'm sure it'd be different. Because kids would, the flow-on effect would be they're going to now, you know, do trainings. They're going to represent. They're going to go to squads. And you
could
would
change
still
a child's life.
Yeah, exactly.
Watching a game like that. And, you know, and there's this article I read by a journalist by the name of Holly Rainwright. And she works for Mamma Mia. I listened to her podcast as well that she does called Mamma Mia Out Loud. And in her article, she said a couple of things. And I thought it was really, really brilliant in that what the Matildas have shown they basically debunked these thoughts that have been, I guess, thought about in the community. So number one, women don't really care about sport.
Yeah.
Clearly women do.
Yeah.
That's been debunked. Men don't want to watch women play sport.
Mm.
And look how many men have been getting behind women. And I'm not saying, I know that if you look at comments on some of these videos on the Matildas page, sometimes people can be awful, but there will always be...
Always be haters.
But overwhelmingly, yeah, it's been massive support. Another one is the women's game is not as exciting as the men's.
That's probably the one that got me, I
really
think.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the one I noticed. I was like, watching, because I've never watched women's soccer.
And to be honest, I'm going to be honest here too.
No.
Neither have I.
No.
This was the first time I've watched men's. No. I've never watched women play.
And the only time I've ever watched women's sport is either netball, and there's nothing to compare when it comes to gender, or it's footy. And the only thing I'm comparing to is the AFL. It's been around for years. So it's impossible to actually literally make the conclusion prior to this that women can be as entertaining as men, because the things I'm comparing to are just superfluous in doing that. Mm-hmm. And then watching these women... I had a huge shift where I was watching these women thinking, these guys suck. Like, no offense to them. Like, they work hard.
Hang on. The women don't suck.
No, these guys. The men. Men. The men.
Oh, you're saying that you think the men suck?
Well, compared to... Because I remember staying up watching the men's World Cup and thinking, oh, this is tough to watch. Watching the women, when I was watching the women throughout these last few weeks, I was like, this is insanely cool. Like, watching a group of players and they're just... world-class athletes who can compete against any team. Yeah. And not only that, the professionalism they played with, I think that's probably one of the biggest things people really pointed out. I think just women in general, like watching every single team of women playing, there wasn't any show personship. There wasn't any, like, even just people diving. There wasn't people delaying the game.
It did happen.
Sometimes, occasionally.
But I'm going to admit, like, between England and Australia, I have to admit...
compared to like watching the men's game, it was just like, that was the biggest shift for me. I was like blown away with this subconscious presumption that I think naturally anyone would make.
Mm.
Watching that game completely removed that from me.
Yeah, and I like that you say that, because a lot of these women that, for example, England versus Australia, the players actually often play either on the same team or play against each other, for example, in the English Premier League. So, and there is big money in the English Premier League, particularly for men, but also for women as well. So Sam Kerr, obviously the Australian captain, she'll be earning this year playing for Chelsea in the English Premier League over $3 million.
Mm.
So, I mean,
cash.
I would like a little bit of that, wouldn't mind a little bit of that, but that just goes to show there's a lot of money and prestige that comes with the English Premier League. I think one of the things that I would really love to see, not just at a grassroots level, and I know that the Matildas have been advocating for this, particularly with the A-League as well, to turning up to games, not just when it's a FIFA World Cup, but to actually go and support your local clubs, support the A-League, the women's league, not just the men's league, because if there is more attendance and there's more support, that's just going to continue to improve the salaries of the players and so much more. Mm. But we could talk about this forever and a day. We're both clearly very passionate about it. But coming back to the very start, it's the toast of the week, because not only has the Australian women's team, soccer team, broken records by making it into a semi-final, but they have done so much to inspire the nation. And as a woman myself, I can honestly say, even though I'm not an athlete and I don't play sport, to see women in their prime doing the thing that they love and making a nation proud was so inspiring for me. I will never, ever forget it. Mm. So go Matildas. Toast!
All right, that is it. That concludes another episode of Toast. Thank you very much for listening in. It has been a pleasure, from incest to the Matildas. We've covered everything, G.
From one extreme to another. I mean, that's what you get with Toast.
That's it.
Apparently.
That's truly
what
you
get. Maybe
we
should do it again like that. Who knows? Let's see.
That's right. have a fantastic week to come. Don't forget to engage if you'd like to send us a message or do whatever you want through Toast the Pod, the Instagram page or the TikTok page. And otherwise, G, any other final comments you'd like?
Yes, I do.
Oh, gosh.
If you love this episode,
brilliant,
particularly because we're talking about Matildas, and whilst there's a bit of a hype going around, share this with someone you think would like to listen to it. Or if you know someone who's from Iceland.
Oh, Iceland.
That needs to hear this episode.
If you know a Matilda, or if you know an Iceland person, Icelandic person, we'll get that right eventually.
Yeah, I'm sorry if we butchered it in this episode. Yeah, share it with them.
Don't think we have a huge Iceland following.
Oh, well, maybe we will now. Maybe we will become massive in there. We'll do a live show over in Iceland. I want to hear from us. Yeah. But in all seriousness, if you love the show, leave us a 5-star written review. It helps us get found by people like in Iceland and many more places. But thank you so much for listening every week. And we look forward to coming back next week to do it all again.
Bye.
Bye.